Hello? Hello? Is it working? All right, cool. I'm Wendell. I'm learning what it means to let God love me the way he wants to, instead of the way I think he should. I'm recovering from spiritual and emotional abuse and addiction to food and work and control, and I've had issues with pornography and alcohol and rage and panic and depression. I'm a screw-up. What I want to talk about tonight is... Do what?
I said we'll love you anyway.
Oh, cool. Thank you. Thank you. Do you notice the first one up to dance on that one song was my wife? I'm like, whoa, who is this woman? I'm guessing. Shoot. Man, I'm guessing. There you go. There you go. The next time we'll do that, we'll have a table up here. And a stepladder. Yeah. We got you all set up. A walker. She wants a walker up there. Okay. It'll all work. Okay, so Richard Rohr, we've talked about him before. I love to read stuff he writes. And he came up with something. I think it was in his book on the 12 Steps, Learning to Breathe Underwater, Breathing Underwater, whatever the name of that was. It's a good book. You need to read that. It's his take on the 12 Steps. But one thing, no, I may have heard this on a YouTube interview. Maybe that's where I heard it. But anyway, it's Richard Rohr. And he said that in our span of life as human beings, that for so many years, we are trying to find out who we are. And we're trying to find out who we are by what we do, by what we learn, by the reputation that we establish, by the, and I don't say this in a bad way, by the empire that we kind of build. Because everybody's empire is just a little bit different. If you went into our homes would reflect us. That's what I mean by empire. I don't mean like, you know, conquering other things and things. I mean, what's a better word than empire? You know what I mean? Yeah. You're building your own little place here, you know. It smells like you. It looks like you. It reflects who you are. And so you spend the first part of your life trying to figure out who am I. And we do it by what we do, what we say, what we learn, how we decorate, how we, you know, the hobbies we pursue, the skills we try to hone. We, you know, and so we're constantly trying to acquire things that help us, you know, skills, whatever, help us to discover who we are, help us to establish who we are, help us to communicate who we are. And then he said there comes a time in life, and there's no set time. Because of certain life circumstances, some people enter into this phase way earlier than others. And then others take longer to enter into it. Then you come into this place in your life where you begin to say, okay, I've taken my little wheelbarrow through life, and I've taken that, and look in my wheelbarrow, this is who I am. And then at some stage we say, this really doesn't matter. None of this matters anymore. And we start to just kind of empty the wheelbarrow out. It's like, I don't need any of this stuff anymore. It's just obsolete. It doesn't mean anything to me anymore. We don't necessarily feel guilty that we loaded our wheelbarrow up. It's just more of a feeling of like, the wheelbarrow's a little heavy with all this stuff in it. So let's just kind of get rid of it. And we settled into a much more simple version of ourselves. Biblical, a stripped down that's kind of taken to extremes. It's kind of like sometimes we don't get a concept or an idea unless it's painted in very vivid colors. And so can you imagine one day walking through life as a very young, precocious teenage guy? Well, he might have been in his early 20s. I don't know how old he was. I guess you could do the math and figure it out. But Solomon's just minding his business as the king's son, and God comes up one day and opens up his checkbook and signs it God and says, here's a blank check. You can fill in any amount you want to fill in. You can have anything you want. What do you want? And, of course, Solomon answered in a way that at first everybody said, oh, that's really good. He's such a good guy. I want wisdom. That's what he said. That's what he wrote on the blank check. And God says, you've got this and much more. And so Solomon took that wisdom that God gave him, and he used it to build an empire like you wouldn't believe. He filled his stables up with mules and horses, and his war machine was full of chariots and soldiers. He made strategic allies with his neighbors. He had them coming to him to pay him honor. He had who knows how many women. I mean, the Bible goes on and on about how many women he had. He had concubines and wives and, you know, on and on. Had wealth at the wazoo. Had wealth, wealth, wealth. And so you think, wow, God gave him wisdom, and he just kept piling stuff in his wheelbarrow. And some of it was for God. He built the temple. That was for God. And, you know, so not all of it was about Solomon. But he builds this empire that has the label of Solomon on it everywhere you go. And his wheelbarrow gets fuller and fuller and bigger, and he gets to a certain place in his life, and he looks at it and he says, none of this means anything. Literally, none of this means anything. And so he writes the book of Ecclesiastes. He says, it's just all for nothing. It's vanity. It's nothing. I did all of that. I filled it up, filled it up, filled it up. And now, Lord, this doesn't, not that I feel guilty, and it's not that I feel ashamed of myself, it's that I'm bored with, this doesn't mean anything. There's got to be something else besides this. And so, kind of what we've discovered in Pathway kind of accelerates this discovery thing. I think we recognize our full wheelbarrows quicker here than we do other places, because we get real about it. You know, we look at each other with our wheelbarrows and we're sweating and we're shaking because it's so heavy and we're worn out. And we say, how you doing with that wheelbarrow? And it's like, I don't know that I even want this wheelbarrow. You know, we share it in groups. We share it in personal conversations. And so we get real about this stuff. And so it kind of accelerates the process a little bit. So what's the point of all this? The point of all this is that when you reached that point, when Solomon reached that point, he went downhill with like depression. Ecclesiastes gets dark. I don't think you have to go there. I think you can come to a place of self-realization to where you say, and this is what happened to me, and I've shared it freely. Wayne has shared it freely. Several of us who've gotten up here and talked have shared it freely. You come to the place in your life where you realize the only thing that really matters in life is the person in front of you. That's really all that matters in the moment that you're given right then. That's all that matters. The stuff in the wheelbarrow, it doesn't matter. All the empire that you build, the reputation you build, the history you build, the bank account you build, whatever it is you build, it's like, really? Really? And you become consumed with this person in front of you, and that includes the person in the mirror. Stop and think about that. That includes the person in the mirror. That you wake up in the morning and you look yourself in the mirror and you say, I love that person. I'm good with that person. I know that person better than anybody else in the world knows that person. And I still love them. I know all their bad habits. I know their bad thoughts and everything. But I love them. And so you walk in the Dorothy way. You know you are loved by your Father. Would you like some of this love? How can I enhance your life? How can I make your life better? There is no, I was going to say the wheelbarrow gets really light. Actually, there is no more wheelbarrow. You don't even have one anymore. You're just looking for people to love. You're looking for people to help their life be a better life, whatever that might look like. So how do we get there? We hardly ever, ever, ever talk about methodology and pathway. It's always these nice talks about love, and we all smile, and we want to give daisies and roses to each other, and it's like love, love, love. All you need is love. La, da, 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 da. You know, we just want to start handing it out and touching each other with essential oils. Hey. I knew that would get her. And burning patchouli incense got her. But we all have our ways, right? We all have our ways of just being happy and showing love and sharing love. And so when you say these kinds of words and you open up a lesson like this, it's like, oh, this is so nice. But there sometimes is work to be done. There is literally methodological work to be done, steps to be taken to help us along with this. And so If you're here tonight and you say, I don't like the wheelbarrow, I don't like all the stuff I've got in the wheelbarrow, but I'm really not even sure what I have in the wheelbarrow, and I'm not even sure how it got there, you know, but I know there's stuff there, but I know I don't want it there, but I don't know what it is, but I don't know how to get it out. So we're doing all this thinking. Because as soon as I said the wheelbarrow, y'all were thinking, what's in my wheelbarrow, right? That's what we all start thinking, what's in my wheelbarrow? And some of us can put our finger right on one or two things, and then we think, nah, but I know there's some other stuff there too, but I just don't know what it is. But I have this nagging feeling, but I don't want it there. But what is it? How do I find it? How do I know what it is? And when I know what it is, what do I do about it? So we're doing the very first step of this method that we're going to talk about tonight. And what I want to just say, and it's just so simple, but I want to say it more and more, and all of us need to start reminding us of this as we move along in recovery together. There is a simple method that we use in Pathway. Think, write, share. Think, write, share. Think of the steps. Think of the steps. We knew that we were powerless. We hoped there was a higher power that could save us. We're thinking this, right? Think. We think that we have some things in our past that may be causing some of what's going on. We think this. So we're thinking. Step one, step two, and getting into step three. We're thinking. And then it comes time to write our fearless. That's fearless and, no, that's not right. Searching and fearless inventory. It's what used to be the fourth step. Now, with eight steps, it's the third step. But we stop just thinking and we start to write our story. And all of a sudden, the things that we are confused about, not sure what's in the wheelbarrow, you know, I'm not sure what it looks like, I'm not sure how it got there. When we start to write, then some clarity starts to come. Oh, on paper, your thoughts begin to connect. And there begins to be a chronology to it. There begins to be some logic to it and some understanding of, now I know how I got this way, or now I know how that part of me got here. I understand. Thinking lets you know I got a problem. That's about all thinking does to me. Isn't that funny? Start thinking and you realize you got a problem. So the idea is to be ignorant. That's what that guy said a long time ago. Ignorance is bliss. I guess he was right. If you don't ask, don't think, you're just as happy as a clam. But are you? The wheelbarrow still is heavy. So you think, and then you write. Then you begin to write down your story. And this is not to indict anybody or this, but is anybody, have you tried doing that? Have you tried writing your story some? There's something happens, doesn't it? When you start to write your story, something, there's a degree of clarity that comes that you just didn't have before. So we think, we write, and then the third one is we share. That would be the old fifth step, and I guess now it would be the fourth step. As you find a recovery partner, you find somebody you really trust, and you say, can I tell you my story? And this will scare the poop out of you. It will scare you to death the first time you do it. After you do it a time or two, then you get used to it and it's not so scary. No show of hands. Sorry about the cough drop. No show of hands, but I just want to ask it. Have you shared your story with somebody? Have you sat down eyeball to eyeball with somebody and said, this is my story? You don't necessarily have to read your inventory. You can if you want. You can just share your story with somebody. Those of you who have shared your story up here know what that does. It's an unbelievable freedom, an unbelievable feeling you get when you share your story. Well, the same thing happens when you find a recovery partner and you share your story with them. It's just hard. If you haven't done it, you're like, I don't get it. If you have done it, you're like, yep. It makes a huge difference to do that. So in the 12 steps, or 8 steps, either one, you start out the time in the steps when you make your list of amends. your amends list. You think about who are the people you've harmed in your life. You think about that. You think about the people who've harmed you and the people you've harmed. That's further on in the steps. You think about that. And then literally it says you make a list. So probably you write it down. And then after that, what do? When you can, when it won't harm them or other people, you go to them and you share. I'm sorry I did this to you. I'm sorry I hurt you this way. I'm sorry. So again, you're doing the same thing. Think, write, share. So recovery does have a definite method that we do, and we repeat it twice as you go through the steps. Think, write, share. Think, write, share. Some people don't like to write. You know, some people like, I'm not into journaling. I'm not into writing. It just never has been my thing. You can always take some kind of recording device and verbally write it on your recording device. Just speak it into the recording device and then listen back. That would be powerful. Whoa, I had never thought about that. Tell your story on this and then listen back to it. It'd be pretty wild. And then, of course, you find somebody and you share that with them. But there is, I always put people on the spot when you ask a question, but would anybody be brave enough to raise their hand and say, yes, there is power in this? I mean, have you done this? And yeah, okay, there's some who have done it. And like you're testifying, there's power to this, amazing power to this, to think it, to write it, and then to share it. And if you haven't done that, you saw the hands go up, group or an 8-step group to do that. You could do that on your own. Just write out your story. Stay and write some more. And if you have to, come back next week and write some more. But write your story and then find somebody you really, really, really trust and say, have you got a couple hours? I'd like to tell you my story. And just share your story with them. And you'll find yourself, the first sentence or two of sharing your story is the hardest, right? Those have done it. Those are the hardest. The first confession you make about I did this or whatever is the hardest. Once you get started, it's piece of cake. It's not hard. Then you actually find yourself telling more than you thought you would because you've got somebody you can trust. You've got somebody who's really listening. So if we're going to discover who we are, if we're going to discover the stuff that I'm hauling around in this wheelbarrow, is not stuff I want. I don't know where it came from. I don't know how to get rid of it. I don't know what to do with it. I don't know who to credit it to. Did I do it? Somebody else did it? Whatever. This process will help us to transition from, and maybe there are some essential things that we need in the wheelbarrow. Maybe that analogy, maybe I pushed it too far. Maybe we don't want to empty it. I don't know. Maybe there are a few things we want to keep in it. But this think, write, share helps us to make those kinds of decisions and helps us to discover who we are. If I don't know who I am, how can I love you? If I'm confused between two or three different versions of me and I want to love you, I want to show love to you, is it real love if I say, now am I going to use version 1 or 2 or 3 to show love to this person? That instantly smells artificial. That instantly smells, oh, the essential living room version of myself. I know who that version is. And so when I love you, I'm going to share that real essential version with you. And how cool is that if you're in a close relationship and the other person has gone through the same process? In a marriage, oh, when we didn't have that, I would rather both of us not be in recovery than one of us be in and the other one not. We were just, ignorance was bliss for years with us because we were so dysfunctional, but we thought that was a good marriage. We thought, aren't we happy? We're in love with each other. And then I got into recovery before she did, and all of a sudden I realized this dance we're doing, this life we're living is so not healthy. So dysfunctional. So I stepped out of the dance, and those were scary days for us. Those were like really painfully honest discussions, and I've told you about that. And so then she got in recovery. And now to have a husband and a wife who are both, they know who they are. So when I share myself with Robbie, I share the real essential version of me with her. And she does the same with me. What you see here at Pathway is what I see at home. She's the same but you that she is here. And hopefully I'm the same person here as I am there. But you that doesn't just happen. That doesn't happen just by coincidence. There has to be this process that goes by, and you have to work it, and you have to figure out what's in the wheelbarrow, how to get there, and do I want to keep it, do I want to get rid of it? And you have to get down to the essential you, and then you can have these relationships. And I've got more and more meaningful relationships today than I've ever had in my life. I've never had this many real, solid relationships because I'm being, okay, now I'm going to get daisies and roses and patchouli again. What if we lived in a world like that? I mean, John Lennon, imagine, just imagine, you know, is it okay just to imagine? Imagine what it would be like if everybody knew who they were, the essential version of themselves, and they shared that with each other. How real that would be, how honest that would be. There'd still be conflict. There'd still be disagreements, but it would be honest disagreements. It'd be real disagreement. It wouldn't be fake. It wouldn't be duck and dodge. It'd be real. What kind of world would we have? I mean, just like, what? Unbelievable. Unbelievable. I like what Naomi said about, you know, Tuesdays, we're going to vote. And it would be so cool if you lived in a world where you could vote exactly opposite and know all about it and know why you did and it not affect your relationship at all. None. Not one bit. Not one ounce. Boom. We're solid. We're solid. I know where you're coming from. You know where I'm coming from. We're solid. We love each other. You know, that's not going to, the love is non-negotiable. It's going to be solid no matter how you vote. What kind of world would we live in if we were like that? So, so cool. Well, that's all I've got. I really appreciate y'all listening. This kind of burned on my heart all week. I thought, really, the secret to recovery is discovery, self-discovery, isn't it? I mean, that's the secret to it, knowing yourself. And so how do we do that? Well, you think it, you write it, and you share it.